I don't know if you're familiar with the prayer that the priest says at the Easter Vigil, at the blessing of the Easter candle. I'll just read it here from the book. As the priest is etching the symbols on the candle, he says, "Christ, yesterday and today, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, all time belongs to him, and all the ages, to him be glory and power through every age and forever. Amen." Not many words, but very powerful. Establishing Christ as the Lord of time, the Lord of all times, the Lord of history. All time belongs to him and all the ages. Well, why do I say that? Because today's New Year's Day, Chinese New Year, and so it gives us an opportunity to reflect again about time. To the Chinese, this is the beginning of the new year. And the beginning of a new year means end of an old year, new beginning, a reflection on what happened in the past year, a hope for what is to come. And this is a part of every culture, every religion, every person. The movement of time is very significant to us. Even though according to the Western calendar, the new year begins on January 1st, which is a rather arbitrary day, the movement of time and the observance of the passage of time is not arbitrary, it's not irrelevant, and it's certainly not a matter simply of superstitions, even though that has entered into many cultures. No, time belongs to God. And at the center of time, the Lord of time, is Jesus Christ. I just think that's an important thing to put back before our eyes, especially when we have a national holiday and we're influenced by the celebrations or the desire for celebration. I know it's forbidden during the pandemic, but the celebration of the new year. This way of celebrating the new year is based on the moon. Today is the beginning of the new lunar cycle. That's why the new year starts today, because of the new moon. At least it respects the cosmos and how God has placed us in creation with the heavenly bodies. So although it's not only a lunar year, it also respects the solar year, because it's the first new moon, I don't know exactly how the Chinese count it, but it has to do with after the solstice, which is in our calendar near the end of December, the second new moon after the solstice or something like that. So it's a combination of the sun and the moon. Our calendar, it starts on January 1st, it doesn't pay any attention to the moon. It just has to do with the solar year. The church's year, if you realize, is actually a combination of three things: the solar year, the lunar year, and the day of the week, which is based on the rotation of the earth, has to always start on Sunday. Our year starts on a Sunday, first Sunday of Advent, and it's based on the Easter, when Easter comes. Easter is the first Sunday after the first full moon after the equinox. A Sunday respects the days and the earth, or revelation of the earth, the full moon, the lunar cycle, and then the equinox, the solar cycle. So the liturgical year respects God's way of indicating how time flows. In fact, the whole liturgical year is the church's way of sanctifying time, hallowing the time, redeeming the time. And that's also the liturgy of the hours. Many of you pray morning prayer or evening prayer or night prayer. those at all the different times of day, the church prays, because time is sacred. Time comes from God, it belongs to God, it's dedicated to the service of God. It's holy. Time is holy. Okay, I'm just thinking about time because it's New Year's, and I've often wondered about these things. The Chinese have lots of ways of celebrating the New Year, you know, the dragon dance and the different colors, and I know not everybody's wearing red today. That's people always wear red on New Year's Day. Different fruits and different foods and all kinds of things, colors. I mean, there's lots of things, and it's supposed to bring good luck and supposed to drive away evil, bad luck, and I don't know. And I'm not putting it down, because cultural expressions of the desire for better times are good. It's just that they need to be purified. That's why I start this reflection with Jesus Christ, yesterday and today, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. All time belongs to Him, and all the ages. The greeting that is commonly used for the Chinese New Year, Kong Hei Fat Choi, I'm sure I'm mispronouncing it, Kong Hei Fat Choi. One time I said, Kong Hei Fat Choi Sa Inyong Lahat. And everybody laughed, combination of whatever Chinese language that is and Tagalog, kind of a Chinalo. I don't know if anyone uses that, but I was told that Kong Hei Fat Choi is much more common in the Philippines than in China. I don't know if that's really true. It's a Filipino-Chinese greeting, and it doesn't mean Happy New Year. It means something like a wish for happiness and prosperity. So may you have happiness and money, something like that. And now I'm mentioning this because everybody's going to be saying Kong Hei Fat Choi today, and we're wishing everybody to have happiness and prosperity, which is fine. But it also is an indication of certain values. You know, our greetings convey values. People have made studies of this, how in different cultures, people use different greetings. So in typical English greeting, Happy New Year, Merry Christmas, Happy Birthday. The happiness seems to be very important to the English-speaking world, happiness. And that's also part of the Kong Hei. I don't, somehow the word happiness is in there. In the Chinese culture, of course, prosperity is very important. Prosperity, money, wealth, security, those are very highly valued. Other cultures, the greetings have to do with good health or many children. You know, may you see your children's children. May you be united with your fathers. There's all kinds of greetings. In the Jewish greeting, Shalom, the emphasis is on peace. May you have peace, and may you have the peace that reigns in the heavenly Jerusalem, this sort of thing. How does Jesus greet people? Typically, do not be afraid. He says it in today's gospel, do not be afraid. And peace be with you. So freedom from fear and peace are Christian greetings. And in the liturgy, peace be with you is part of our prayer every day. Or in the writings of St. Paul, grace and peace be with you. So Paul and Jesus, they never talk about, may you have more money, may you have prosperity, may you have grace and peace, may peace be with you, may you be free from fear. So you just see where the values are. Okay, maybe you think I'm rambling here. Let's go ahead and turn to the gospel, because this is Jesus, the Word, the divine Word made flesh, God who is outside of time, having entered into time, and he's walking through the streets of Capernaum. He's bringing this divine presence and peace and freedom and grace into the troubled world. And he encounters these two very distressing issues, the girl who's about to die, the 12-year-old girl who's about to die, daughter of Jairus, and the woman who's been bleeding for 12 years. We could, if we want to update the story, say, well, Jesus walking in our streets in the midst of a pandemic that is going on 2 years. If God is in time, why is there still so much suffering? Why did God allow that girl, who was right at the verge of entering into adulthood, why did he let her die? What about that woman? Why did he allow her to spend 12 years searching for a cure and getting worse all along? Some of the scholars say that that woman, perhaps her hemorrhaging began when she was 12 years old. When her fertility cycle kicked in, she started having this flow of blood, and it rendered her barren. Does not have no mention of any husband or any children, and not only barren, but also in the Jewish tradition, defiled, ritually impure. In fact, she wasn't even supposed to be in the crowd. She was supposed to practice social distancing because she was ritually impure, and she's certainly not supposed to touch anybody, because a bleeding, anyone who had touched blood or was bleeding was impure, and that spreading purity to everyone. Anyway, she touched Jesus and she was healed. The reversal of this is what we're celebrating. Now, the question is, well, why does God, if he's entered into time and made time holy, why is time marked by so much suffering? And this is a mystery to us that we have to entrust to him with this awareness that for God, 12 years is not a long time. 1,000 years are as a day, and a day is as 1,000 years. God, who is outside of time, doesn't see things the way we do, and he wants us to see things the way he does. That is, to see that he is the beginning and the end, that he is the Alpha and the Omega, and that all time belongs to him, and all ages, to him be glory and power through every age forever. So every time we celebrate the passing of time with the new year, or every time we lament the sorrows of the time, we do so with faith, with the awareness that God is Lord of time. Some people have wondered why we have to keep praying the Oratio Imperata. You know, there's a revised version of it. We have not yet adjusted our laminated cards, but it's basically the same prayer. Why are we praying? For 2 years, we're praying for protection from COVID-19, and we're praying for healing, and we're praying for wisdom for all those who are responsible to find cures for this disease and stem its transmission. How many years do we have to pray this prayer? That's how people react. And God doesn't look at it like that. He says, how long do I have to wait for my people to trust me? How long do I have to wait for people to abandon themselves to my providence and to believe that I love them? How long do I have to purify this world? Time. I'm just reflecting on this passage of time, and with the awareness that Jesus has entered into this. Now, that's what happens with the gospel. Jesus has entered in. He has completely changed the picture. Jairus doesn't know it yet. The woman with the hemorrhage doesn't know it yet. She has faith. He has faith. But faith is the confidence that God will, in his time, change our sorrows into joys. And it happens. In the case of the woman, 12 years of suffering until she touches him and is healed. In the case of Jairus, Things get worse before they get better. He gets the report that the girl died already. Too late now. She's dead already. And that's what everybody says. Why bother the teacher? It's too late. And Jesus says, do not be afraid. Just have faith. It's quite a thing to say to a man who just lost his 12-year-old daughter, who just received the news that his daughter died. Do not be afraid, just have faith. We would say, condolences, I'm so sorry for your loss. And that's right, we should say that. I pray for her eternal glory. Jesus says, do not be afraid, just have faith. Well, of course, because he's going to reveal himself as the Lord of life, as the Lord of time, as the one who, if we put our trust in him, will help us through every sorrow, every suffering, and even through death into eternal life. So no matter what happens, good, bad, life, death, sickness, health, no matter what happens, the answer is, do not be afraid, just have faith, because the Lord's in charge of everything. So, but Jairus has to pass through this dark journey between the time of hearing that his daughter died and experiencing her being brought back to life. And that's kind of symbolic of where we are. We have been told, do not be afraid, just have faith. And we're journeying in faith. But we don't see all the restoration that we believe in. We're not in heaven yet. We're in the middle of a pandemic. Hopefully we're not in the middle. Hopefully we're near the end. But anyway, we're still in a pandemic. And it's not always easy to journey through dark times. But the message is the same. Do not be afraid. Just have faith. Keep walking with Jesus. Keep trusting in him. Keep following him with confidence that he is the Lord of life, that he is the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, and that all time belongs to him and all the ages. That's not an empty belief. It's confidence in something that's absolutely true, that the Lord is the Lord of time, he's the Lord of life, he's the Lord of eternal life, and it's in him that we put our trust.